Hey, it's Paul. Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. There's a moment in any system, a team, a company, a workflow, where the thing you've been optimizing for stops being the constraint, and you don't notice right away. You keep pushing on the old bottleneck out of habit, celebrating speed improvements that no longer matter. Today, I want to talk about what happens after that shift, because I'm living through it across several projects right now, and the implications go way beyond my work. First thing, there's a difference between work that's decidable and work that's deciding. And the gap between those two is where most organizations waste enormous amounts of energy. Here's what I mean. When execution gets fast, really fast, the backlog becomes a mirror. Everything that was vague, everything that was "we'll figure it out later," suddenly becomes a visible obstruction. Not because it got worse, because everything around it got faster. I've been watching this play out concretely. Execution-ready tasks move through a pipeline almost effortlessly now. Decomposed, scoped, isolated work just goes. But the moment something requires judgment, what should this product actually be? What's the right framing? It doesn't just slow down, it stops the line. And here's what's interesting. That's not a failure. That's the system working correctly. One team spent an entire day not building anything. They spent it deciding what the product is, reframing the narrative, aligning the positioning, choosing language. Meanwhile, another team closed 23 issues in the same window. Both were productive, but only one looks productive on a dashboard. This is the trap most organizations fall into. They measure velocity and mistake it for progress. When you can execute fast, the bottleneck shifts to clarity of intent. And clarity of intent doesn't show up in throughput metrics. It shows up in whether the fast work was worth doing. So if you manage a team, or you run a company, or you're even just managing your own projects, ask yourself, are you still optimizing for execution speed when the real constraint is decisional clarity? Because the answer changes what productive means on any given day. Second thing, invisible costs only become visible through failure, and that's a design flaw we keep tolerating. One of my projects hit a wall today. A third-party service ran out of credits. A feature just broke. No warning, no degradation curve, no yellow light before the red one. It worked, and then it didn't. Now, this is a mundane operational problem, but it reveals something deeper about how we build systems. And I don't just mean software systems. I mean organizational systems, financial systems, any system where humans used to touch every transaction, and now they don't. When a person handles every operation manually, they develop intuition about cost. They feel the friction. They notice when something's getting expensive or weird because they're in the loop. Automate that operation, and you gain speed, but you lose the sensory feedback. The human nerve endings get severed, and what replaces them? Usually nothing, until something breaks. This is the real cost of automation that nobody budgets for: observability. Not monitoring in the technical sense. I mean the organizational capacity to notice what's happening inside your own systems before it becomes a crisis. Think about this in a business context. You automate client onboarding. Great, it's faster. But the person who used to do it manually also noticed when a particular client type was churning early because they saw the patterns. That signal is now gone. You didn't lose a process, you lost a sensor. The fix isn't to stop automating. The fix is to build the sensors before you need them, which means spending money on visibility when everything looks fine. That's a hard sell in any organization. Everything's working, but I need budget to watch it work. Good luck getting that approved. So instead, we wait for the break, file the reactive ticket, and build the dashboard after the damage. Every system you automate needs a corresponding investment in making the invisible visible. If you're not doing that, you're borrowing against future failures. Third thing, the question of what's ready for autonomous execution is actually a question about what's been decided. I've been working with a scoring system that evaluates whether a task is ready to be handed off to autonomous execution. The criteria are practical. Is it well scoped? Is the context sufficient? Are the boundaries clear? But what that scoring is really measuring is something more fundamental. Has the judgment already happened? A task that scores high on readiness is one where a human has already made the hard decisions. What should this do? What are the boundaries? What does done look like? The execution is just the residue of those decisions. A task that scores low is one where decisions are still embedded in it. It looks like a task. It's sitting in a backlog like a task, but it's actually an unresolved question wearing a task's clothing. This maps directly to how delegation works in any organization. When a manager says, "I delegated it, but it didn't get done right," the problem is almost never execution. It's that the delegation contained hidden decisions the manager hadn't made yet. They handed off an unresolved question and expected a resolved answer. And here's the part that's been nagging at me. Readiness decays. A task that was perfectly scoped 2 weeks ago might be stale now. Context shifted, requirements drifted, the world moved, but the score doesn't update itself. The ticket still looks green. This is true of every handoff in every organization. The briefing you gave last month is decaying in relevance right now. The strategy document from Q3 is losing fidelity every day. Readiness isn't a state. It's a rate of decay. And if you're not actively maintaining it, you're handing people stale maps and wondering why they end up in the wrong place. Fourth, briefly, when every interface can do everything, the concept of a feature starts to dissolve. If you can talk to a system, type to it, or connect programmatically, and the backend maintains context across all of those, then what you're building isn't features anymore. You're building capabilities that surface through whatever modality makes sense in the moment. This changes how you think about product scope. It changes how you think about what a team is building, and it especially changes how you think about what done means. Because the answer is no longer, "We shipped the feature." The answer is, the system can do this thing from anywhere, in any mode. That's a fundamentally different way to think about what you're making, and most organizations aren't structured for it. So here's the question I'm sitting with tonight. If the bottleneck has shifted from execution to judgment, and if judgment is the one thing that can't be parallelized, ground up, or scored for readiness, then the most valuable thing you can do in a day might look like nothing happened at all. One team ships 23 tickets. Another team writes 3 paragraphs that reframe the entire product. Which one moved further? You already know the answer, but your dashboards don't.